Good morning, church. We're going to talk about this morning about how to have a great summer. And I know your summer has already gotten started, but we're going to help you make the rest of it awesome to God's glory. So let's pray together and then we'll get into our message. Our God and Father in heaven, thank you so much for the amazing ways that you've blessed all of our lives. Father, indeed, we can do everything without complaining or murmuring because of how good you've been to us, how amazing and abundant your grace has been upon us. And God, we pray that we can live lives that give you glory, that you would work in this place today, that your spirit would move in our hearts to help us to see ways we can be more like Jesus to give you even greater glory. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. How to have a great summer. I've got the answer for you. You know, I haven't preached in a while. And I was telling Jim Brown this morning, I said, which of the three sermons do you want me to preach today? He said, because I could preach all three of them and we could be here for a while. So I'm only going to do two of them instead of three of them. But how do you have a great summer? This is how. I'm having a little problem here. Serve. How do you have a great summer? You decide that you're going to serve God and you're going to serve God's people. That is the clear solution to you having a productive and abundant summer to God's glory. And so we're going to look at a scripture over in Matthew chapter 20. Where the sons of Zebedee, their mother, come to Jesus. And basically she asked Jesus to do a favor. And in verse 21, Jesus says, what is it you want? She said, grant that these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. And these are the sons of Zebedee. They're speaking up now. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared by my Father. And if you know with Jesus on the cross, I don't think you want to be on his left or his right. That was a challenging place to be. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together. He has a little D group with all the guys. And he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Not so with you. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, it's so easy for us as disciples to get out of the habit of serving, of understanding the priority that being a servant should be in the life of a Christian. That Jesus came to set us an example in how to live, and what Jesus was a servant. You know, he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But he's teaching his disciples a valuable life lesson here. That what God sees as greatness is becoming a servant. That to be first, you must be willing to be last. And that you must consider other people better than yourself. You're not looking for the position of authority. You're not looking for the position of recognition. But you're looking for how you can glorify God through serving other people, through washing feet, through considering others above yourself. That's what God smiles on. That's what gives glory to God. And it's so easy for me to lose touch with that, to understand that true greatness in the kingdom of God is not being an authority, but true greatness is what you don't see oftentimes. Behind the scenes, The people in kids' kingdom, to God, that's true greatness. The people who got here early this morning, I got here at 9 o'clock this morning, there were people already here setting up. In the eyes of God, that's true greatness. Not the people who walks in at the end and say, hey, serve me, perform for me. That's not what God's looking for. He's looking for us to be servants to His glory. How do you serve God? By serving others. That's what it's all about. And this is what we're to imitate. So I want to give you some really practical points today on this simple lesson, what serving does for us. Because in a lot of times we're thinking, you know, what do I need to do for other people? No, serving is for you. It's for me. It's for my heart. Just like giving. It's like I give because God's blessed me, but nothing does my heart better than to sacrifice and give, because in my sinful nature, I'm selfish and greedy and I don't want to give. But when I give, it begins to break down that selfishness. It begins to break down that sin that can lead me away from sacrificing and help me to understand that this is what my life is supposed to be all about. You know, let's talk about the benefits of us being servants. And I don't want you to think about this for the person sitting next to you. I don't want you to think about this for the church leaders. I want you to think about this for you. As if it's just you and me in the room talking and nobody else, all right? And so here's some, I'm going to give you some really practical things here, and hopefully these things you can take home with you today. Number one, it helps us to be like Jesus. It helps us to be like Jesus. You're never more like Jesus than when you're serving other people. And in John 13, we read the great story of how Jesus and his disciples are there. They're having the supper together, the Lord's Supper together, and Jesus gets up from the table. He takes a basin of water and a towel, and he goes around and he does something that maybe they should have thought of. And he begins to wash each of the guys' feet. And he gets around and he washes, you know, James and John and Thomas and all the guys. And he even washes the feet of Judas. That's the heart of Jesus. And he did this, and he goes on to tell them, he says, now that, this thing is sensitive, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, what does he tell us, church? What should we do? You too should also what? Wash one another's feet. That's what he tells us. That's, he set this example so that we can learn from him. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. See, Jesus just didn't talk about serving. He set the example in serving. And do we want to be like him? Is that not our ambition in life? Is it becoming a Christian? Doesn't it mean to be Christ-like? To follow in his footsteps? And what did Jesus do? He served people. That's what his life was all about. Self-denial, self-surrender, putting others first. And he's telling you and me, he says, I'm about feet washing. This is what I came to do. To set you an example, to love and to encourage and to build others up and to meet their needs. And now that I, your Lord and Master, have washed feet, you should wash feet. This is how you glorify God. And you know, we say sometimes, I really want to be like Jesus. Well, are you serving? Are you serving in the kingdom of God? Are you washing any feet? That's what we need to be doing. Not only does it help us to be like Jesus, it helps us to overcome selfishness. You know, selfishness is at the root of every sin. I struggle with it every day. And that's why when in Luke 9:23, we all know the scripture. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny who? Himself. That's the real battle. That's the real issue. And the example of Jesus is one that we need to follow. But we have to work on these things. We have to deny ourselves and make every effort to deal with our own selfishness. And to understand that this is what causes conflict among us. This is what breaks down marriages. This is what makes children not grow up to be what they need to be. It just all comes down to flat old selfishness. What about me? Who's thinking about me? That's not what it means to be a Christian. Now, one of my favorite scriptures, and I think I've got it up here, Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. And Paul is trying to help the Philippians. But then if you go on down to verse 3, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. We should always consider the interests of others above ourselves. That's what makes the church great. That's how we glorify God. He goes on and says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Not sort of like his, but the same as his. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of what? A servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. That's our Lord. That's our example. That's our standard. That we're to imitate him and crucify that selfishness in us that destroys relationships, that hurts families, that really keeps the church from being glorified. Now, you think about it. When you and your wife are having a conflict, what's the real problem? I guarantee you, if you go back and you check it out, it's selfishness. Either your selfishness or her selfishness. Now, I know you're thinking it's the other person's selfishness. Now, we think about our kids. And in today's world, I mean, kids have to learn what it means to serve. You know, when I was growing up, man, we had to wash dishes and mop the floor and you didn't get an allowance for doing it. It's like you and this family, this is what you do. And now we're begging our kids, we're paying our kids. And they're not learning the lessons they need to learn. That the way you mature and the way that you grow up, give glory to God, and the way that you grow up to be a decent human being is by being selfless, denying yourself, helping out, making a difference. That's what it means to be a Christian. And then here in the church, I mean, what acts of service? If you left, who would miss you? Because you're helping. Who would notice that you're gone? See, if you're serving, you're making a difference here. And that's what God calls us to do, what God calls us to be. And so it helps us to overcome our selfishness. Let me go on. I got quite a few points to make here. It helps us to be joyful. In Acts 20, verse 35, Paul says, he uses a scripture that we don't find anywhere in the Gospels. But we know Jesus said it because we see it in his life. And Paul's telling us the truth. He says, in everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said. It is more blessed to give than to receive.
And you know, when you're serving, it gives you joy. When you're helping others, it does something for your soul. It's like therapy. And the most miserable people are the people who are sitting around waiting for everybody to do something for them. The most miserable people in the church are not the servers, it's the observers. It's not the initiators, it's the spectators. And if you want to have a great summer, just deny yourself and start serving and start giving and start considering how you can help other people. It's good for your soul. It's good for your heart. The Bible goes on to say in Luke 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. But with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You can't out serve God. You can't out give God. And the more you serve, the more God gives back to you. And the more you serve, God fills up your spirit and it overflows with thanksgiving and with joy. If you're not happy as a Christian, check out your week last week. Did you help anybody else? That's where the true joy comes from. The Message version puts it this way. It says, give away your life and you'll find life given back. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. You know, in the last couple of trips I've taken out of town, I took one to Africa and then I took another trip. Where did I go? Haiti. I went to Haiti. And as I opened my suitcase, you know, every day I was trying to, you know, find something to put on. And I would find these little notes in there. And Cynthia had secretly written me notes. I can't share with you the details of all the notes said because it was so wonderful. And every day I was encouraged. And there I was in Nigeria, in Lagos. Nigeria, sleeping on the hardest beds known to man. And I'd get these notes. I was like, wow. And then there I was in Haiti, and every day it would be a note. And then sometimes she would even put little candies in there with the notes. She's an amazing example to me. She's always looking for ways to serve. Even this morning, Sam, I'm sending these notes out. Would you like to make a donation? And I figure if she's giving money, I'm already making a donation. But that's her heart. That's her heart. And I think that's the spirit of God. That's the character of Christ. Serving, giving, emptying yourself, pouring yourself out to other people. And that's why she's such a radiant, joyful person. Because she's always thinking about sacrificing. And you think of other people who are filled with joy, it's because they're givers and not just takers. That's what serving does for you. It changes your heart. Next point, it helps us discover our gifts. It helps us to find out what we're good at, what God has blessed us with. You know, we all have different gifts according to the grace given us. And you may have some hidden talents out there that we don't know about that you will never discover until you decide to step up and serve. Now, I know some of you think, well, my gift is singing. Well, we can tell you from the seat, from sitting next to you or behind you, beside you, whether that is your gift or not. But if you have the gift, then you should use it. Am I right? You should use it. But you don't know if you have the gift if you don't step up to serve. You know, some people have so many wonderful gifts in this church. 1 Peter 4:10 says each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Why has God blessed you with certain talents? Whether it's leadership or speaking, or even if you're a good cook like Diane Hill. And I'm blessed constantly by her gifts of service. Keep on serving, sister. And
whatever gift you may have, but you don't know. It's like the Bible says we have different gifts in Romans 12. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. Whatever the gift is, use it. But you don't know if you can use it if you don't step up to serve. You may have the gift of leadership. Get off your hands and step up and try. And God's Spirit may work through you to raise you up to do even greater things. Are you using your gifts? She said, well, I don't know what my gift is. Start serving. And the Spirit of God will make it clear to you. All of us can do something. But this is how you grow. This is how you mature in Christ, is by stepping up to serve. Here's another point. It helps us to get others to heaven. Do you know that serving helps get other people to heaven? Here in Luke chapter 10, this is introduced with an expert of the law coming to Jesus and asking them, which of the commandments is the greatest? And of course, Jesus says the greatest is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And then the man asked Jesus, he says then, well, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells this story about the man on the road to Jericho. And then he says that the man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. But so too a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, a half-breed, someone disrespected by the Jews, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have received. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go on and likewise, do likewise. We don't know, I mean, from this parable, it didn't go on and say this man became a believer or whatever. But let me tell you what. The way that we touch people's hearts, the way that we show people that God lives in us, is not just giving them an invitation, but it's through serving them. And this is what Jesus is trying to teach us and show us. Jesus fed the 5,000, not because they all were going to get baptized, but because that was the need. He fed the 4,000, not because they all were going to get baptized, but because that was the need. And what we need to learn to do is to meet needs. And at the end, I'm going to give you some practical ways that you can do this. But Jesus says, if you see people in need, whether it's a stranger or someone in your neighborhood or a fellow disciple, to be like Christ is to meet that need, to serve. And you never know if through your serving you might touch somebody's heart that says, why did you do this? And I do this because I'm imitating my Lord and my Savior who served me. That's why I do it. That's why I take my neighbor's paper out the street and put it on his porch. That's why when his garbage can blows all over the street, I take it and I put it back in his yard. Because I'm trying to be like Jesus. And see what Jesus is saying, stop passing by on the other side. You see a need in the church, don't sit there and expect someone else to meet that need. Don't pass by. Am I right, church? You meet the need. This is what it means to obey the first and the great second greatest commandment. Serve. Have mercy. Care about other people.
And when you go through the list in 1 Corinthians 13 of what love is, it says love is not self-seeking. It's right there in the list. It's not self-seeking. Love is serving. Love is sacrificing. Love is meeting needs. We want to be a great church. Let all of us decide to serve. Let all of us, when it's asked who can help, let all of us raise our hands. Say, you can count on me. When something needs to get done, let's make sure that we're the ones that are looking to help out. You know, in most churches, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the membership. Most of the work gets done by 20%. You know, even with contribution, 20% of the members give 80% of contribution. That's how it works. That's how it works in the world. I don't think it should work that way in the kingdom of God. Because Jesus didn't die for 20% of us. He died for 100% of us. He died for each and every one of us. And it should mean the same to all of us. Now, here's my last point before I give you some practical points. Serving is a sign that we're going to heaven. I didn't say serving is what gets you to heaven. It is a sign, though, that you're going to heaven. Now, I'm going to read this to you. In Matthew 25, verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him. That will be you and me. And He will separate the people one from another. The shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And you know what side you're thinking you're going to be on, right? And just remember, you're going to be judged individually. He's not going to bring up your family. He's not going to bring up your life group. He's just going to be you and you alone. It won't even be you and your wife. But you and your husband. You can put the sheep on one side and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my kingdom. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. You know, right now in my car is a bunch of stuff that my wife is trying to give to people. Lotions and soaps and I'm like, when are we going to get this stuff out of the car? And she's like, I'm looking for homeless people to give it to. And I'm just like, okay. And she's probably served you and you thought it was me, but it made me look good. But that's just what you do. And he says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you have. They ask the question, when did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. No one else may see it. No one else may know it. But God knows what we do in secret, because we're not doing it for the praise of men. We're doing it for Him. That's the heart He wants us to have. You know, Kevin shouldn't have to get up here and say, well, this is how you put chairs up. The men in this room should stand up and say, this is how you put chairs up. Sisters, you sit down. We got this. We're the leaders of this church. We set the example by serving. You can go ahead and applaud that.
Unless you're just too convicted to clap your hands.
Then he would say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. Look, we're not New Yorkers. We're Christians. We're Christians. New Yorkers are rude. They're on edge. They're defensive. They're cautious. And I'm not saying, sisters, you should go down some dark alley trying to give somebody a bagel.
here in Jesus' name. Use common sense. Take a big brother with you. Go down the alley. Take Kevin Davis. Kevin got some moves. Take him with you. But it's like the Lord is watching. And he will reply, I tell you truly, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. What God wants to know is, did you serve somebody? Did you serve somebody? No. We're saved by grace. Our deeds and our works, we can't earn salvation. We are not saved by serving. But we are saved to serve. Why did he save us? Why didn't he just take us straight on up to heaven so you could stay here and serve somebody to God's glory? And so let me give you some practical ways to serve. And do the dishes or house chore without being asked. Learn how to use a vacuum cleaner. Learn what a dustpan is. Do the dishes. Dry the dishes. Put them away without anybody asking you. Some of you, your parents would faint if they came home and saw the dishes. We'd have to take them to the emergency room. Visit someone from your church who is hospitalized. Buy someone lunch. Just initiate. Take them out. Jim Brown did that for me the other day. I wish I would have known he was going to do it before I ordered, but I didn't know until after. Depending on the season, shovel snow or mow lawns in your neighborhood. Just do it out of the goodness of your heart. Teach in kids' kingdom. I said, teach in kids' kingdom. Amen? We have to keep drafting the same people. Because some people, they want to bring their kids, but they don't want to teach their kids. That's ridiculous. You at least ought to want to know what's going on down there. Bring baked goods to someone who is sick or hurting. If you can't make them, buy them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, or get Mrs. Hines or somebody to help you out. Some of these things, all you have to do is add water and it'll work out. Write an encouraging note and leave it in a friend's Bible desk or car. That's what my wife has done for me so many times. But, you know, last year I took on a 52-day challenge. And I sent an encouraging email to 52 different church leaders, both in the New York church and outside the New York church. And they were so encouraged. I did it because God put it on my heart. And some of the notes I got back, it was like the right thing at the right time. Man, we need encouragement. Am I right, church? We need encouragement. We need somebody to build us up. We need to know that somebody believes in us. Somebody loves us. Somebody's going to help spur us on. Because being a Christian is not always easy. And we're insecure. And sometimes we have bad days. And we just want to know that somebody thinks we're okay. And we need to serve one another in this way. My next one. Oh, okay, I don't know where I went. Can you take me back? Can you take me back? Help me out. Paint the last page. Okay. I'm sorry. There we go. Oh, I did again. Help me out here. Serve me. Okay, there it is. On garbage day, I'm not going to touch anything. I'm not going to touch anything. I guarantee you. I'm not going to touch it. On garbage day, pull everyone in the neighborhood's garbage cans back to their houses. Some of your neighbors will wonder, what happened? What'd you do? Why? Call someone who normally pays you to babysit and offer to babysit for free. I said someone who normally pays you to babysit. Now, don't go If they haven't screened you and don't want you to do it, don't get insulted because they don't want you to. They may not trust you. But anyway, I'm just saying there's a way to do this. Give compliments generously. Generously. Why are you so stingy with your compliments? What you holding on to them for? We're not going to need them in heaven. I'm not going to need you to tell me that I'm doing good in heaven. I know I'm doing good. I'm in heaven. But encourage people. Man, sister done work all half day, get her hair done. Let her know. That look good. That's tight. That look real good. Brother come to church and dressed up, washed behind his ears, put on a little sweet smelling stuff. Let him know. Man, you look good. Amen. Encourage somebody. Give compliments. People do well. I mean, don't flatter people, but if they do a good job, encourage them. It's a good job. Send flowers. We got send flowers. Sometimes all you got to do is send a flower. Encourages people. Send them to the sisters. I don't need flowers, but I prefer the cash. Do a chore for a brother or sister without them knowing it. Just do something positive. You know, somebody pay a bill. But anyway, it's like, who do you know that's lonely? Call them and make plans to spend time with them. I'm just going to have your day. It's going to be your day. And then as we go places, let's open the door for others. You know, it's amazing me. Even when Jim and I went out for breakfast last Saturday, I opened the door for some people, and they're like, "Oh, thank you." There was a lady coming in who had a physical handicap, and I opened the door, both doors, and the family said, "Thank you so much." Are they going to become Christians from that? Probably not. But that's what Jesus would do. That's what Jesus would do. I want to challenge you this week. Share with another person in here today how you plan to serve others this week. Just don't let this roll off. Make a decision. Serve someone this week. Initiate to serve in this church. It helps us to be like Jesus. It helps us to overcome our selfishness. It helps us to be joyful. It helps us to discover our gifts. It helps us to get others to heaven. And is it a sign that one day when we stand before the Lord, He can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant.